Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. We want to remind you that these online resources are never meant to be a substitute for God's good plan for you to be present, connected, and serving in a local church under the care of qualified elders. If you live in the West Toronto area and are looking for a local church, we encourage you to come check out one of our Sunday services. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Well, it's absolutely amazing to me. The more I read the Bible, the more I see how much the Bible has to say to us about thanksgiving and gratitude. In fact, the Bible speaks so much about thanksgiving and gratitude that you get the sense that central to all forms of authentic worship is thanksgiving and gratitude. Now, over the past few weeks, we've been taking the opportunity to speak about some very important things and receive instructions from the Word of God. We took some time to speak about what the Bible says about stewardship and how to think biblically about money. Last week, we took the opportunity on Father's Day to see what the Bible has to say to us about parenting. And today, we want to take the opportunity to cultivate thankful hearts and see what the Bible has to say to us about thanksgiving and gratitude. Why today? Why the opportunity today? Well, today is the official end of our ministry year on our ministry calendar. Summer has come, and the ministry year rhythms are going to shift a little bit. And so it gives us an opportunity to look back and to thank God for all that He's done amongst us, and with faith for all that He will do ahead of us. So it's more than appropriate for us today at the end of this ministry year to stop and to look back with hearts of gratitude and thanksgiving for all that God has done among us. And to prepare us for that and to help us to do that, I want to take us to one verse of Scripture. I want to take us to Psalm 75, verse 1. So if you have your Bible, I want you to go ahead and turn with me to Psalm chapter 75, verse 1. And I want to take some time to let the Word of God stir our affections for Him and to allow the Word of God to cultivate a heart of thanksgiving. If you don't have a Bible, you can put up your hand, and one of the ushers will love to put a copy of God's Word into your hands. If you don't own a Bible, that Bible would be our gift to you. We'd love you to take it home and read it and have your life changed by the Word of God. While you're turning there to Psalm 75, I'm going to meet you there in a moment. I think I want to take a moment here to give us a high-level overview, a mini-theology, if you will, of thanksgiving and gratitude. Specifically, a theology of a thankful heart. And then we're going to get into Psalm 75, verse 1. I want you to notice on the screen, a thankful heart. Here's a high-level overview of what the Bible has to say. A thankful heart is, I want you to see, the evidence of a Spirit-filled heart. How can you know that someone is filled with the Holy Spirit, that they belong to God? Well, you see much evidence in a thankful heart. On the screen for you, Ephesians 5, 18 to 20 says this. The Apostle Paul says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But here's the instruction, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be mastered by other things, be mastered by the Holy Spirit." And then the Apostle Paul begins to essentially describe what it means, what it looks like, that the heart is filled with the Spirit. I want you to notice that he says, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts. Here it is, here's a mark of a Spirit-filled heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Among the many marks of a Spirit-filled heart is a thankful heart and a heart that's filled with gratitude. A thankful heart is evidence of a Spirit-filled heart. Secondly, I want you to see on the screen, a thankful heart is the fruit of a spiritually mature heart. A thankful heart is the fruit of a spiritually mature heart. I want you to notice on the screen, Colossians 3, 15 to 17. It says this, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Watch this now. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Watch this now. With thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. A mature heart is a heart that has the word of Christ dwelling in us richly. And when the word of Christ is dwelling in us richly, the Apostle Paul says, you give thanks to the Lord in everything and for everything in all circumstances. I want you to notice on the screen, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. Here's the instruction. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Watch this now. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You want to know what God's will is for you and me? Sometimes we wrestle with what God's will is. Is God's will for me to move to this city or that city? Is God's will for me to marry this person or that person? What is God's will? The Bible says it's really simple. God's will is that we are thankful, that we live thankful hearts. One more on the screen, Philippians 4, 6 to 7 says this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, watch this, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's a sense in which the spiritually strong, the spiritually mature, the spiritually growing are growing in peace and prayer and singing and all possessing the distinctive mark of thanksgiving. You want to know the mark of a mature believer in Jesus Christ? It's not that they go through all the motions and they wear the right clothes and they maybe say all the right things, but just watch. Are they thankful? Do they have a thankful heart in everything, good and bad, knowing that God is in control of all the circumstances happening in our lives? And those who love God, he works all things together for the good of those who love him and know him for his glory. It is his will, church family, for us to grow in thankfulness. So a thankful heart is evidence of a spirit-filled heart. It's fruit of a spiritually mature heart. Finally, lastly, this, a thankful heart is the opposite of a complaining heart. You're sitting there, you're saying, that's not news. That's pretty obvious. Well, it is obvious, of course, but it's worth saying. Why? Why? Because of the many commands in Scripture given to us to stop complaining. On the screen really quickly, Philippians 2:14, Paul says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. 1 Peter 4:9 says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. And 1 Peter later says, do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. So if the Bible is replete with commands to stop complaining, to do all things without grumbling, to function in every circumstance without complaining, then we should pay attention to whether or not we are living in active obedience or the evidence and fruit of God's will and true worship, which is thankfulness. Now, this is my prayer. We're getting ready to jump now into Psalm 75. Not going to be too long today. Don't be afraid, but wanted to give you a high-level overview, almost a mini theology of thanksgiving. And before we jump into Psalm 75, I want you to ask yourself the question, is my heart marked by thanksgiving and gratitude in everything, in all circumstances? As we're going to see, thanksgiving and gratitude is central to true and authentic worship. All right, look at Psalm 75, verse 1. This is what it says. The psalmist says, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. We recount your wondrous deeds. All right, one verse of scripture today that we're going to expound. Can we get a sermon out of one verse? And all of God's people said, yes, yes, amen, we can. And I'm going to phrase this as a prayer, because sometimes as a preacher, you want to pray your sermon so that God hears us and he works these truths into our hearts. So make a note of this. Lord, we're asking you today to help us to have thankful hearts. Here's point number one, because you have been so near to us. You have been so near to us. Why do we give thanks today at the end of this ministry year? Because yet again, at the end of another ministry year, we see that God has been so near to us. I want you to notice verse 1 of Psalm 75 again. It says, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. We recount your wondrous deeds. Now, Psalm 75, a bit of background, is a psalm of thanksgiving. There are different psalms, psalms of thanksgiving, psalms of lament, psalms of enthronement. Psalm 75 is a psalm of thanksgiving with strong elements of enthronement and prophetic proclamation. What does that mean? Well, it simply means this, that this psalm is a song of corporate thanksgiving and a celebration of the sovereignty, kingship, and coming justice of God. Remember, the Psalms are the hymn book of ancient Israel. These are songs that they would have been singing. And here we have in Psalm 75, a song that Israel would have sang corporately and collectively to give thanks to the Lord and to offer him worship. Now, right at the outset of the psalmist establishes two amazing realities, both thanksgiving and remembrance. Thanksgiving to God and remembrance of all that God has done as key components to the worship of God amongst God's people. Now, again, just stop right here for a moment and consider what you come to do on a Sunday morning. If you and I come to church without having a real sense and a real awareness with a thankful heart of all that God is to us, all that he means to us, all that we say with faith he will do in us and through us, then we are missing a fundamental foundational component of true worship. The repetition, we give thanks in verse 1, it intensifies the weight of this song. Notice it, we give thanks to you, O God. Again, we give thanks. This signals to us the centrality of a whole being expression of gratitude as essential to the corporate gathering. That's why I love hearing other people sing. It's good to hear other people sing because we're hearing one another lift up our voices. I love seeing people lift up their hands. Another psalm says, in your name, I will lift up my hands. We do that as an act of surrender and gratitude, a physical posture of offering ourselves to God. I love looking around the room and seeing maybe someone with tears coming down their face because of the hope that they are being renewed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're giving thanks. This is what we see happening in Psalm 75, a whole being expression of gratitude as essential to the corporate gathering. And this, loved ones, alerts me to something so important that I so often forget. Can I tell you, loved ones, as the main preacher and teacher in this church, sometimes I'm coming to church and I'm thinking about my message. I'm thinking about things that have gone on this week. I'm thinking about all kinds of things. And sometimes as I'm standing here singing with you, as the team is leading us, it's in those moments the Lord lifts up my eyes and says, Jason, just take your eyes off yourself for a second. Take your eyes off of yourself. You're here for me. You're here to look to me with gratitude and thanksgiving. You're here so that I receive the worship of your heart. Don't worry about everything else. I'm going to take care of it, but look at me. Give thanks to me from your whole heart. And I pray that increasingly so our church grows in a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving because he has been so near to us. I want you to see that in verse 1. It says, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. Now, God's name all throughout Scripture represents many things. The name of God represents his character. It represents his nature. The name of God represents his covenant promises to his people. The name of God represents his very presence amongst his people. We see this most explicitly in Exodus chapter 3 through God's self-revelation to Moses. You remember when Moses asked, when God called Moses to represent him amongst the people of Israel, to lead the people out of the bondage of the Egyptians, Moses was very nervous. He said, when I tell them that you're calling me to lead them out of the land, and they ask me, who exactly is calling you to lead us? He asked, what should I say is your name? Name. And you'll remember God said, tell them, I am sent you. Or I am who I am, translated Yahweh in the Hebrew. His name is essentially the incomprehensible description of the totality of who he is. And so when the people in Psalm 75 sing, we give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks for your name is near, they are saying, you in all of your glory, in all of your magnificence, in all of your immutability, in all of your eternality, you, God, are near to your people. Now, Psalm 75:1 echoes Deuteronomy 4:7, which asks rhetorically, for what great nation is there that has, notice, a God so near, a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And of course, the answer to that rhetorical question is, there is no nation on the earth. There was no other nation that had a God that was so near who would answer and move towards his people if they would just call on him. And so what is the impetus for the people of Israel to sing this song of thanksgiving in Psalm 75? We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks. Your name is near. It's that he had made himself in all of his glory so near to his people. And then we ask then for us, what is the impetus for the Church of Jesus Christ, the New Testament covenant community, to come into the corporate gathering and to say, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. What is the impetus? What is the motivation for the Church of Jesus Christ to make as its central declaration in worship and all of life and in everything thanksgiving and gratitude? Isn't it, loved ones, that you and I have received and experienced the ultimate reality and fulfillment of the covenant promises of God in that God has made himself near to us through the person of Jesus Christ? The prophet Isaiah announced the advent of Jesus Christ, giving him the name Emmanuel. Do you know what Emmanuel means? God with us. The name of Jesus means that he is near. The Apostle John wrote in John chapter 1 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Emmanuel means that he is near, and John testifies to the fact that he lived, he tabernacled, he became the true temple, he became the dwelling place of God among us. Emmanuel, God with us, came near to us and lived among us. And of course, the Apostle Paul tells us that because of the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, we are now the living temple of the Holy Spirit. Because of the sacrificial death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it means that he is more near than he could ever be. For all who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and come to Jesus Christ, not because of any merit or work of their own, but based solely on the merit and work of Jesus Christ, we come to him with faith and repentance, and God, through the person of the Holy Spirit, indwells us He is near. His name is near. And so you and I, loved ones, have so much to be thankful for. Jesus Christ condescended to us 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ left pre-incarnate glory. He existed from eternity past into eternity future, no beginning, no end. And through the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the infleshing of the God-man, he comes to make himself near, and he confines himself to a body, a human body, and he lives a perfect life, the life that you and I could never live. And he died a brutal death, a death that you and I deserve to die, but he was raised to new life on the third day to grant all who would put their faith in him a new resurrection of their own. If we would just call on him, he will be near, and he will live in us, and he will empower us, and he will make his love known to us, and he will fill us, and he will use us. God is near. And so today we should give thanks because God has been near to us. There's one more thing I want you to see, and it's this. Today we should give thanks. Oh Lord, we give thanks to you because you have done so much for us. I want you to notice verse 1 again. We give thanks to you, oh God. We give thanks for your name is near. Watch this now. We recount your wondrous deeds. Now, for the people of Israel, God commanded them to recount his wondrous deeds. And reread about these things all over the Bible and throughout the Psalms and the history of the people of Israel, how God delivered them in the Exodus, how God displayed his mighty arm of salvation and sovereignty through the 10 plagues. How God miraculously brought them through the Red Sea on dry ground when they felt like there was nowhere to go and they were trapped. The sea was parted in front of them, and there they walked across dry land in the midst of the sea. How God daily provided for them in the wilderness wanderings. Of course, all of these things, I hope you know, prefiguring the salvation and the redemption and the deliverance that comes to the world through the great mediator, Jesus Christ. And so they were commanded to recount all of his deeds. And that means, loved ones, that you and I have ample reason to give thanks to the Lord, to recount all he's done for us in salvation, such that if you're a child of God today, you can look back and you can say, like our friends in the baptism tank, I was depressed and God pulled me out. I was in addiction and God pulled me out. I was lost. I couldn't make my way through this life, and God pulled me out through the person of Jesus Christ. We can look back and at our salvation and give thanks to him. If God didn't do another thing for us at the moment of salvation, we have reason to give him thanks forever and ever. Amen? But he does do more. He did do more. In fact, you're sitting here today, some of you, and you're thinking to yourself, I got a lot of things that I can recount to the Lord right now. Amazing deeds that he's done for me. Not only did he save me, not only does he dwell in me through the person of the Holy Spirit, not only did he give me new life, not only is my eternity secure because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but now he uses my life. Now he provides for me. Now he blesses me. He does for me things I never even asked for. He works hard situations out for my good in ways I couldn't have even imagined. So even if he didn't do another thing, we have ample reason to thank him. But he has done so much more, and he continues to do so much more. And now, for the remainder of the message, I just want to help us recount some of his marvelous deeds to us as a church this past ministry year. I want to help us to give thanks to the Lord. I want to help us to look and see God is active and alive and well here in Hope Church, in our ministry to the city. I want you to recount with me that God has strengthened our church immensely this past ministry year. That God has advanced our work of making and multiplying disciples. We've launched more groups, including men's and women's groups. We saw 43 people join groups for the first time. By the way, I'm going to give you some numbers, not so that we can say, wow, what a big number. Some of them aren't huge numbers, but we've always said in our church, one day at a time, one life at a time. For every life, we should stop and give thanks to the Lord. 43 people deciding to do life together in small groups for the first time. We instituted more mentoring groups and the implementation of a practical theology cohort that resulted in the fruit of life change amongst many women in our church. This year, we welcome 27 new members who are committing themselves to abide, connect, and share with us as we follow Jesus Christ together. By God's grace, we celebrated 21 people who entered the waters of baptism in obedience to the command of Jesus Christ. Every life matters. And if it's true, and Jesus says that for everyone who comes to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, there is much rejoicing in heaven. If that is true, and we know the words of Jesus Christ are true, then 21 deserves celebration. God has advanced our work and our dream of becoming a training center that equips and trains quality disciples of Jesus Christ. We completed content for 2 new disciple maker courses, bringing our total offerings to 11 of 12 planned trainings. This is our disciple making training series. 19 people completed a 10-week disciple maker intensive, and we saw 14 more people participate in a robust doctrine and hermeneutics cohort, helping them learn how to interpret and understand and apply and teach the living word of God. We saw in our youth ministry 30% increase in attendance of young lives. Young lives that we are praying would come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and lead the way as part of a generation that is far from God, but would lead the way in the midst of a generation that is far from God as people who will put their flag in the ground. Young people in the midst of a world that compromises will put their flag in the ground and say, we stand with Jesus Christ. We're seeing amazing things happen in our youth ministry. Our church continues to be blessed with the heartbeat of God for outreach and missions. Our local outreach that we call Reach the City has seen more leaders raised up to lead across 3 community housing buildings here in South Etobicoke. Again, I don't want you to take this for granted, and I don't want you to get used to this, that the city of Toronto has given our church key fobs to get into 3 community housing buildings so that we can go and we can bring light to a dark place, so that we can shine a bright light with the word of God and the gospel. We can bring food and clothing and tangible needs, but we can go ultimately with the gospel hope that we've been bringing. We've seen 16 individuals from these buildings since the inception of this ministry begin attending this church regularly, and 2 have been baptized, 1 this morning. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The ministry of hospitality continues to increase. We prepared and packaged 1,700 meals this year for our local outreach, as well as growing produce donations. Amen. You can clap to that. We had a very generous donor donating to very special events like Thanksgiving and Christmas, donating fresh produce from a farm. And I learned this week that that produce is no longer just for special events, but they want to donate that fresh produce as a regular thing to this ministry. In fact, amen, amen. In fact, I don't know if you knew this, but as we look at our budget from last year, our last ministry year, we received over $100,000 in donations for Reach the City in our outreach ministry, and that is not normal. This year we supported and sent Jessica Gibson to South Sudan, and Richard Chan, his language acquisition training continues for his ministry in a restricted country. These are two people who have said, we can't keep this gospel to ourselves. We want to go to the nations. And we commissioned them. We saw three rope holder teams formed, teams that would provide ongoing support for our missionaries. And we sponsored a pastors and wives conference in India this past ministry year to bring great teaching and instruction to many pastors who are lacking this kind of teaching and instruction on the other side of the world. Music and leadership development has accelerated at a faster pace than at any other time in the life of our church. We held our first worship ministry boot camp, which produced two new band directors, three new worship leaders, and the worship team welcomed more new band members. Are you blessed by the worship team every week as they lead us? Amen. And the work of raising and training pastors and deacons continued this past year with great intentionality. I'm so thankful that we launched our first pastoral apprenticeship program, apprenticeship program that would train and equip young men to walk in the way of the ministry, who would learn to rightly handle the word of God and to learn how to shepherd God's people effectively and faithfully as God instructs us to do in his word. In addition to that, 9 men participated in our biblical eldership retreat offsite, and 8 individuals have committed to serve after completing a 6-week deacon training. This is phenomenal development at the highest level of leadership in our church. And this is answered prayer. I just want you to know, there was a season, loved ones, about a few years ago, just after COVID, where pastors were resigning left, right, and center, where people were saying, I don't want to go into ministry, where people were saying, I can't do this, it's too hard, and pulpits were being emptied, and there was no one to be found who would say, I want to sacrifice my life to serve Jesus Christ. And we looked around for a while, over a period of a few years, and said, there's no one wanting to serve Jesus Christ in this capacity. And all of a sudden, it's like the floodgates opened, and a lineup came to our door of men who said, we want to serve full-time. This is the work of God. So many more things have happened, but all of that while we saw God answer a 13-year-old prayer that our church had been offering up for a permanent space in the city. This is the year that, in the face of all odds, God provided for us a place that we could set up our ministry and our church, a permanent space, not this space where you come in and you set up and you tear down every week and all of that. You have done so faithfully. We have done so well. For 13 years, we've been setting up and tearing down. Now God has made a way finally. As the city said to us, they'll never approve the zoning request. The city's going to push you the whole way through. They're never going to let it through. And yet we prayed and we fasted, and God provided for us a place in the city. Zoning was approved. We are designing the place right now. We're getting ready to move into a space that, Lord willing, will accommodate 500 people, 400, a little over 400 in the worship center, 100 in kids, 1,000 people across 2 services would be the capacity. This is a marvelous provision of God. And he continues to save life after life, because he loves the people of the world. That is why we're here, loved ones, to grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to grow in our love for Jesus Christ, to grow in our affections for Jesus Christ, to cast down our idols, to repent of our sin, to live for him, because we know that oh so soon our Savior is returning. He's coming back. He's coming back for his bride. And for us, loved ones, we want to be a prepared bride for our bridegroom. equipped and discipled and trained to be presented to the bridegroom as a bride without spot or blemish, to present everyone mature in Christ, and to say when we stand before the King of the universe, Lord, we did everything we could to take this message to people who are far from you, and we saw people repent of their sin and put their trust in Jesus Christ as a result of our ministry. Lord, let it be so. Let it be so more and more and more in the days to come. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks, for your name is near. We recount your wondrous deeds. Amen, church.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.